So happy that you're here, really, to share the word of the Lord. And last Sunday, I asked the church and anybody listening who wants to join in to prepare a kind of bread and wine, just a biscuit or juice or anything like that, because we're going to take communion together today. And I believe that the word is going to activate a fresh faith, fresh power in the reality of the death of Jesus Christ for us, that we can actually receive miracles today. And that is my expectation. So if you haven't got bread and wine there, or juice and crackers or whatever you've got, maybe you could run out quickly, grab it from the kitchen, and we're good to go. You know, the early church, it's fascinating. In Acts chapter 2, we read of their life together. They met together regularly. They were in each other's homes, and they gathered in the temple, the bigger meetings. And they were always praying, fellowshipping, hearing the teaching of God's word. But they also broke bread often, regularly. And I think because it was so central to the life of the church and every believer, I think we kind of need to be reminded how important communion is, and to activate our faith personally in the power in taking communion. And therefore, it's, you know, it's not something that is routine, it's not something that's a ritual for us as Christians. We're not to do it because we should be doing it, but it's doing it in expectation that something amazing, the supernatural power of the cross, is going to affect our lives personally. And communion is one way we can plug in. You remember the woman who reached out and touched the hem of Jesus' garment? She used her faith to touch the hem. I believe we can use our faith to touch him and receive the power that has been released through the death of Jesus Christ. And Jesus spoke about to remember this. And we're just going to look in 1 Corinthians together. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And Paul received this from the Lord, and he's passing it on to you and to me as the church, the called out ones, the ones who've been called together to represent the will of God and to do the will of God in the generation we live in. So in verse 23, Paul says, "I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it,'" so regularly, often, "'in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again.'" Now this is something that the Lord wanted for each one of us. And if you can imagine the disciples, they were at the table with Jesus. It was the Last Supper. And they were celebrating the Passover. God's people were remembering and acting out what God had instituted through Moses generations before, that a Passover lamb, a lamb was sacrificed and eaten, and bread was made, unleavened bread, and they were to put the blood of the sacrifice, the lamb, over the doorpost, because God was about to do something amazing. He was about to take them out of slavery, out of Egypt, which is symbolic of being under the power of something stronger than you, and to pass over. The judgment would come upon those who didn't show the blood on the doorpost and on the lintel. And the angel of death would pass over that home or that family or that individual And then God would bring them out of Egypt to himself. The scripture's really clear that God didn't just save them to bring them into the promised land. He saved them first to bring them to himself to worship. And then he brought them, that was the plan, into the promised land. And so Jesus and his disciples were at the table. And I want you to think about that. We're at the table with Jesus. When we're taking the bread and wine, which is symbols of his body and his blood shed for us, we are at the table with the Lord. The Lord is always present. Everything he has done, he did 2,000 years ago, over 2,000 years ago. And so his presence and his work is already done. He's already here. But you can imagine yourself in your homes, on your own. I often take communion on my own, taking the bread and wine with the Lord. And what's interesting, it says on the same night in which he was betrayed, he took the bread. And he said, basically, I'm about to be betrayed. He spoke about the betrayal to his disciples and even to Judas. Judas was at the same table. And Judas had plotted with the chief priests, and they were about to kill him, to crucify him. And Judas had sinned against the Lord, but then Satan had entered him. Scripture is really clear. When he'd sinned, Satan came in. There was something really of the devil that was at work in Judas. And Jesus sat around the table with his disciples and in the presence of his enemies. Now, King David had also sat around a table with the Lord. In Psalm 23, it says, "A table you have prepared for me in the presence of my enemies." And so God himself, David said, has prepared a table full of good things for me. But even in the presence of my enemies, I can partake of everything good. And so Jesus is in the presence of an enemy, really. And he took the bread. And you know, one of the things, one of the most painful things in our lives is that we can be betrayed. Jesus experienced betrayal. And that was a difficult night. It was a difficult moment in the suffering of Jesus. But he took the bread. And I think whatever season we're going through, good or bad, difficult, hard, if we take communion with the Lord, we will receive a power that will change our lives. On the same night he was betrayed, he took the bread. Now, Jesus spoke about instituting a new and better covenant. Better than the one he'd made centuries before with Moses and the children of Israel. And it was new. It was a new day. And it was to be written in his blood. Because his blood was like the blood over the doorposts of the lintels, over the lintels and the doorposts, as the people of God came out of Egypt and the death passed over. The blood was the perfect blood of the sacrifice that God gave. Jesus is God's sacrifice for sin. And we can't be saved just by the teaching of Jesus. We are saved by the blood. The Christian message is all centered around the cross of Jesus Christ and the blood that he shed for the sins of the whole world, and the blood he shed for my sins and your sins. And it's by faith we receive the power of the blood. And if you turn in your Bibles to Colossians, we'll see something of what Jesus has done. There's so much he's done for us through his death and resurrection. In Colossians chapter 1, we see verse 13. This covenant that he has written, this work that he has done for us. The cross is about everything God did so that we could enjoy the benefits, which is why the table is already laid with good things, because we're not bring and share. He's done everything for us so that we can receive everything from him. And in Colossians chapter 1 verse 13 it says he has delivered us. Oh, I love those words, because it's past tense. He already has delivered us, rescued us out, like the children of Israel came out of Egypt, brought out from under the power of Satan, from the dominion or the power of darkness. You see, we used to be under the power of Satan because we used to be under the power of sin. But when Jesus died and presented his blood to the Father, basically his justice was done. God's justice was done. And Jesus paid the price for our forgiveness through his blood. The blood, the life is in the blood. That's what scripture says. And the life of God is in the blood. And through the blood we receive deliverance. We are not punished for sin. We are redeemed. It says we've been brought into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Redemption. That word essentially means, redemption means to pay a price for something so that you could own it and bring it out, transfer it out of the hands of one person into another. We have been transferred out of the hand of Satan, from the power of Satan, into God's hand. In Revelation 5, the scripture says, you are worthy because you were slain, Jesus. This is talking about Jesus. And he is always the Lamb, the sacrifice of God. You are worthy because you were slain, and your blood has purchased men for God. You see, we couldn't be redeemed with silver and gold. We could only be redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And so if there is no blood, there is no redemption. But Jesus has paid, and he has already taken us out of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. He loves us. He's accepted us now in Christ. His blood has made us holy and blameless before God. Not because of what we do, because we could never please God, but because of what he has done. You see, we've all sinned. We've all fallen short of God's standard. And the cross is a celebration. When we take communion, we're celebrating, not sad and mournful remembering his death. We celebrate that God himself has provided the sacrifice, and that we are forgiven. Not only our sins covered over, that's Old Testament, our sins are removed. And through Jesus, we've been given a new heart, and we're treated as if we had never sinned by God. Isn't that a wonder? You and I are treated by God as if we had never sinned, done one thing wrong, because that's the power of the blood of Jesus to make us clean. And to give us even a clean conscience where we are not guilty, but we stand before God in confidence because of the blood of Jesus. And we also know that we know that we know Satan has no power over us because we already have been delivered. Not will be. We have been. Scripture's very important, the tense there. Taken out of Satan's power and brought into the kingdom of his Son. Wonderful. And so when Jesus says, I want you to remember, this is my body, this is my blood, I want you to remember my death. Basically, you know, we understand this because it's a new covenant. It's a It's his will. When somebody dies and leaves you an inheritance, it's amazing. It's amazing. You didn't earn it. But that will doesn't come into operation until they die. Somebody you know might have written a will with your name in it, and you might be really excited about the future. But Jesus has already died, and he's already released that inheritance, which is why when we come to communion, we're coming to something, a meal which he has already paid for. And that meal consists of everything that Jesus has done for us through the work of the cross. His blood and his body broken for us, that we might receive all the blessings of Jesus. Jesus actually wants us to be heirs, joint heirs with him. In other words, we inherit all he has is ours. And communion is a way to plug in to the power of what he's already prepared, but by faith receive it. You see, he's always with us. Everything he's done, he's already done. But communion is an exchange of the life and power of the blood and the body of Christ, and we're to feed on him with thankfulness. Feed on that table that he has prepared, full of good things. So when we come to communion, we need to be thinking, what he paid for, I'm about to eat and drink. I say that again, what Jesus paid for through the work of the cross, I'm about to eat and drink. Now, you know the benefits of eating and drinking, especially if you have a good diet, is that it actually nourishes us. It gives life to us so that we can continue to live in full strength. And sometimes I think we have more confidence in natural things than we do the power of communion. God has given us this amazing meal to have with Jesus at his table so that we can continually nourish ourselves with all the benefits of our salvation, this great salvation. You know, people put their confidence in a doctor. We take medicine, don't we, sometimes? Eat and drink it. And we're confident that somehow that's going to sort our problems. How much more should we have confidence when we take the bread and the wine? They're symbols of this amazing new and better covenant that was written in the blood of Jesus. We're so much better off than the Old Testament saints, because we already have seen that the work of the cross is done, and he's put his spirit within us. We have his presence always, a new heart and a new spirit. Now I'd like us, just before we take communion, just to look at a meal that Abraham had with a high priest called Melchizedek. Now if you turn and you know, that's probably a bit of a curveball in your thinking of taking communion. But we're just going to look at Genesis and look at a few things that we can expect to happen today as we take communion. We can expect to receive, because the blessings of Abraham have come upon us through faith. So whatever Abraham received, and we've received so much more, but this is an amazing blessing that came upon Abraham. And Abraham was met by this king in Genesis chapter 14. I'm just going to read two verses, and they're wonderful verses. Abraham was met by this king called Melchizedek. Now Melchizedek means king of righteousness. That's who Jesus is, and this is like a type of Christ. Melchizedek has no beginning and no end, so actually this is a manifestation of Jesus, I believe. And he is the king of righteousness. And he's also the king of Salem, which means the king of peace. That's Jerusalem. You get the name is peace or shalom, well-being, total well-being. peace. So Jesus is the King of righteousness and peace. And so Melchizedek comes to Abraham, and you know that what he brings out is bread and wine. A bit like Jesus at the table with us and with his disciples. He brings out the bread and wine. And he was the high priest of the God Most High. And he blessed Abraham and said, "Blessed be Abraham of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be the God Most High who has delivered your enemies into your hand." And Abraham gave him a tithe of all. Abraham's response was to give back. He'd received so much. But Abraham, there's some amazing things that are here in God's word, jewels really, treasures of revelation. The first thing in this meal is that we are to understand that the King of righteousness and the King of peace now lives in us. And because he lives in us, he has become our righteousness. Jesus has become our rightness with God. We are not right by what we do. We're made righteous by what Jesus gives to us. He gives us a gift of righteousness through him, the gift of his Son. That's the Christian life. We're not right with God through our works. It's a gift of God's grace. Then we see the blessing, and that's when we receive communion. We receive the blessing of peace. And you know, with everything that's going on in the world, and always will go on, there's a lot of disturbances and unrest, and people are unsettled. But you know, when you take communion, you can receive the power of God's peace. We have peace with God through faith in Jesus, forgiveness of sins. But we can have the peace of God. In other words, supernatural life, peace, well-being. And I think, you know, when I think of peace, I think of Jesus when he was in that storm. He could have awoken by the disciples, you know, in the boat. He could have woken up irritated, fed up with his disciples, fed up with this is another situation I've got to deal with. And you know, internal peace, who you are, is what you reveal. What you are inside comes out of you. And Jesus lived in peace, internal peace. He wasn't unsettled, restless, always looking for some other kind of life. He was at peace with himself and with the call of God on his life, the life that God had given him. And he wasn't anxious about anything. And I know the kids are going back to school. And I know the teachers are going back to school too. And we've got a lot of teachers in the church. But I want to tell you that God will give you his peace. A peace that passes understanding. Because we can have peace through trusting in Jesus. And we can receive peace. Peace that passes understanding. So that our kids, we release them in faith. Not disturbed and anxious. But when we take communion, we can receive this precious faith that really changes. You know, things in life, when you don't know what to do, it can actually cause huge stress. You've got issues here, there and everywhere. You just don't know what to do. Just receive peace. And I know the miracle of this. Just relax. God's in control. Trust him and live a life of peace with God. And if there's been strife and problems in your relationships, marriages, whatever, sit down as a family, sit down as a couple, take communion together. I can guarantee your hearts will be softened towards one another. There'll be forgiveness and grace flowing between each other because of how much you've been forgiven. And the peace of God will begin to rule you and in your home. The peace of God. Then Melchizedek blessed Abraham. That's another thing that we can reactivate in our life. We are blessed already, but when we plug in, there's a blessing that actually means life works out well as Jesus plans. Our relationships are blessed, our job is blessed, our provision is blessed, everything gets blessed. When the blessing of God's upon your life, then things work. And that's something we can activate, a fresh release of blessing through taking communion. Then Melchizedek says, who has delivered your enemies into your hand. You know, there's victory on the table with Jesus. There's the victory, and this is key, this is really key, over sin and temptation. You know, when the enemy comes to tempt you, to compromise your faith, to sin against the Lord or against somebody else, there's victory over sin. You don't have to, because sin no longer has dominion over us. Jesus has become our victory over sin, but also over our enemies. He has put us in authority over our enemies and has given our enemies into our hands. In other words, we can take authority. Ah, what a blessing to receive a fresh victory in our lives over sin and Satan. Then we can receive answers. That's the next blessing that can come. In chapter 15, verse 1, it says, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. The word of the Lord came. Oh, so many questions that you and I have. What shall I do? Where shall I go? How shall I live? What shall I do about this, that, and the other? There's just so much answers. The word of the Lord comes. When you're sitting at the table, you can activate that hearing ear, that word of the Lord coming, and trust him that your heavenly Father will speak about whatever you need to know in the word. The word of God, the written word of God, is the wisdom of God. Jesus himself is the word. In him is wisdom. He has become our wisdom. And so we need to live by the wisdom of the word, which is God's answers for every situation we face. The next thing God says to Abraham is, don't be afraid, I'm your shield. In other words, no need to fear anything. No need to fear this winter with a second wave of the virus. I am confident that as we trust God, the protection of God comes. And as you sit at the table, you can receive a fresh enshielding, really, God's shield coming around you, enveloping you as he is your protection. He, more than your face mask. I believe in being wise and wearing face masks and washing hands and social distancing. We need to be doing what the government advise. But our faith isn't in a face mask. It's in the Lord to deliver us and protect us. Oh, take it afresh as you eat and drink. Then, shield means also favor. Psalm 5 says, you will surround me with favor as with a shield. Oh, the favor of God, when favor isn't fair. Favor isn't fair. You can't earn it. You just get it. Favor with God and man. Wow. Receive a fresh release of favor. Working life. Every situation you are in. Favor of God. And then God speaks to Abram and says, I'm your exceedingly great reward. That means I'll reward you. I'll recompense you. There will be an abundant recompense for you. God himself will provide a reward for those who sit at the table and take the victory of the cross, which means God himself becomes our provider in life. Finally, I want to add something that is part of the new covenant. We have Abraham's blessings, but we also have many new ones, some of which I've spoken of in Colossians. I want to talk about health and healing, not just healing. Living in divine strength and vitality. And when you take and eat, you can be healed. You can receive strength you didn't have. Why? Because you're taking in the victory of what Jesus has accomplished for us and already provided for us. We're just eating and drinking what he's already done. We're in a generation that is emphasizing fitness and diet. And once again, there's wisdom in keeping fit, and there is wisdom in eating well and right. But if that's your faith, that your exercise is going to keep you healthy, then it's not in the body and blood of Jesus. And you know, the miracle I believe, our health and healing is in the death, the body and blood of Jesus, not in fitness, not in creation. We're not trusting seeds and vegan living. We're trusting Jesus. And it's very subtle, you know. You could start to trust things that you realize, hang on a minute, I'm trusting this. I should be trusting Jesus for my health, for my strength and vitality. And you know, the Bible also speaks about taking communion in an unworthy manner. Now, yes, if we're in rebellion and sin, we need to confess our sin and get right with God. And his righteousness, he becomes, you know, he'll forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He's our righteousness. But I believe so much that we are not here to trust in the things of creation. We're here to trust in his victory. Health and healing, vitality come through the blood and body of Jesus Christ. What a powerful meal. And it's something I really had on my heart. It's something that we can daily receive or take communion more regularly in a season if we're not well, that actually will release a continued faith and power. You'll plug into the power of God. You'll activate the power of the death of Jesus Christ. And I believe today that faith has come. I believe today is a day of miracles. I believe today is a day where we can receive strength and vitality from God. From God. Blessing. Favor. Peace. Peace that passes understanding, that we're trusting him for everything and he will provide it. He already has. It's already on the table. But we're eating and drinking what he's already paid for. It's all ours in Christ, but we're plugging into that power. So, beloved, we celebrate. We remember. Let's take, if you're in your home, on your own, or in your family, just take your cracker or your bread. Just, we're going to break this piece. And let's take the victory, the peace, his righteousness, the release of answers, deliverance from sin and temptation. Let's take his shield, his protection, his favor, every favor and blessing. Let's release it by faith as we take. Thank you, Lord, for your body. We do this to remember and proclaim that everything you die for, we're going to receive it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for healing, health. Alzheimer's healed. Alzheimer's and dementia. There's power in the body. The victory of what Jesus has done. Healing and health. Peace. Peace. Your frustrations are wearing you out. His peace. peace will be your portion. Just take it, receive it, and live out of his peace. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for blessing, for favor. We don't deserve it, but it's just freely given. We celebrate your victory. And Lord, as we take the cup, symbol of your blood, thank you that we have been purchased for God, that you've brought us to God, that you've taken us out of the power of Satan, the power of darkness, and that the Father sees the blood of Jesus and declares us righteous, holy, and blameless. Thank you that we no longer have a guilty conscience of what we've done, because the blood of Jesus has cleansed us from all sin. Thank you that Satan can no longer accuse us, because we overcome by the blood of the Lamb, and the cross is enough. The word is our testimony, and we love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you were the Lamb that was slain for our sins. Take, drink it in faith, the power and the victory of his blood. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, right now for the supernatural power of your Holy Spirit working amongst your people, in your people, in homes, relationships. Thank you that we will live in the victory of the cross through the power of your word and your spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. A table he's prepared. Anytime you can sit at his table and get a biscuit, get a bit of bread, juice, whatever, and just take communion and commune with the Lord. Share this amazing moment, even in the presence of your enemies, because victory and life will come, and you will live in the fullness of life that Jesus died to give you. Let's live in the victory that Jesus has provided for us. God bless you. Have an amazing day and week ahead, and looking forward to next Sunday already. God bless.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Kingdom Faith Southwest. For further information, log on to kingdomfaithsw.com.